Good afternoon and welcome on in to Kildare Focus. My name is Caoimhe Hearney. I'll be with you until 3 o'clock today. Happy Friday. Hope you're all keeping well. Coming up on today's show, we'll be speaking to Alana Pardy. She is a Kill native and founder of Recapture One. She's recently won the Enterprise Ireland High Achieving Grant Thornton Award for this new business, which involves QR codes on gravestones. We'll be speaking to Patricia Friel. She's executive director of Mary's Meals. It's a charity which provides daily school meals to children across the world in 20 countries. For many, it's the only meal that they eat all day. We'll also be speaking to Michael Nugent of the Atheist Ireland. He's chairman. Today, a new blueprint has been published by the Education and Training Board. It says religious symbols in state-run schools must be reflective of the entire school community in the future. And then we'll be speaking to Mayor of Naas, Councillor Evie Salmon. The return of the Naas Farmers Market is from tomorrow, and everyone here in KFM and of course across Kildare is very excited for this. So do get in touch with anything that you want to say. Of course, questions, answers and anything at all. 0833 97 97 97. And the text, that's the text line. The call line is 0845 898 999. Of course, you can email us studio@kfmradio.com.
Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Hearney. Text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97.
Now, my first guest, like I said, is a Kill native, and she has just recently won an award from Enterprise Ireland. It's a high-achieving Grant Thornton Award for her new business, which she created herself. It's called Recapture One, and it involves QR codes on gravestones. Good afternoon, Alana.
Hi, Caoimhe. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I got a bit tongue-tied there. You know, it's a long week. You know, we're looking forward to the weekend. Alana, it's been a great couple of weeks for you. Tell us more about your new business.
Yeah, so it has been a good couple of weeks for me. And my business name is recapture1.ie. We provide QR-coded memorial plaques to help tell the story of your loved one's life. So recapture1.ie helps us to remember the precious memories we made with our loved one and celebrate the life that they lived and kind of preserve those precious memories.
Okay.
So it's a new business just developed, and we like allow users to share multiple photos, videos with sound at the graveside instead of looking at your typical one photo.
Okay. For people who don't know a QR code, because I know like up until a few years ago, I wouldn't have known, you know, like it's a relatively new thing maybe. Just explain it to people.
Yeah, so QR codes are everywhere now. Once you see one, you won't stop seeing them. They're mostly used for menus in restaurants. Mm. So you just simply take out your phone and it's already built into your camera software on every iPhone, smartphone. So you just open up the camera app and you place it over, as if you're about to take a picture. Mm. You place it over the QR code and the link that is attached to that picture will pop up and you just click it.
Okay, brilliant. And so explain then how it works at the graveside. So if someone wanted to get this for their family member who has passed on, explain how it works.
So it's a simple process. What we do for the customer is that we host the video for you on our own website. So a customer will come to us and make an account and select what plaque they would prefer that suits their grave. And it would be, once the plaque gets delivered to each customer, they simply stick it on to their preferred location, whether that is the grave or if it is their garden, urn, or a specific memorial site. They would just have to then scan the QR code by doing the simple process of opening up the camera app, and the video of their loved one will just pop up.
Okay. And do you actually make, so do people send over all of their information, like their pictures, videos, and then you actually compile it together for them? Or is it, do they have to do that themselves and you just provide the service of the QR code?
No, we actually make the video for them. So all they have to do was send us pictures or upload photos and videos that they'd like in the final video. And then recapture1.ie would put together kind of a final piece to show their life stories and kind of preserve the precious memories that they had with their whole family members, their friends, baby pictures of them, anything that they want to have in this final video, we can create a little masterpiece for them.
Okay, so, you know, poems or maybe a little short story or anything like that, prayers even, I'm sure some people might want. Can do that for and amalgamate it all together.
Yeah, like for my auntie, what we did, we started off for pictures of when she was a baby. And then throughout the whole video, we have our videos of her singing in it, so you can actually hear her voice for one last time. We have videos of her dancing, so when you're at the graves, like, you just get a taste of their personality and who they actually were as a person, rather than just looking at the headstone. So okay. It kind of adds a more personal experience and a trip down memory lane to each grave.
Okay, and is that where the inspiration came from, Alana?
Yeah, it would be. So my auntie passed away a good few years ago and I was only quite young, but my brother and sister, they never actually met her before. So each year as a family, we go up to Donegal to celebrate her life and her birthday and her anniversary. So I kind of last year, I was like, wouldn't it be cool if my little brother and sister could see who she was and experience the memories that we had with her? So I got to work and I didn't even think this was going to turn into a business idea. And I just developed this for my family. And then the feedback I got was just incredible. My nanny couldn't stop watching it. Now, there was a few tears, but it was happy tears. Mm. And it just completely changed the whole look of the graveside and how it was kind of enlightened it a little bit.
I mean, it's a fascinating story, and especially because you just kind of stumbled upon it. You know, you didn't go out to make it a business. So when it comes to then the actual plaque, the plaque is like screwed on to the gravesite, or is it that it will be the QR code is engraved into the headstone, say? Which way does it work?
So our QR coded memorial plaque is quite beautiful and discreet, because we know that the gravesite is a special place, so we don't want to take away from it. But it's also weatherproof, so all the customers have to do is just take off a sticky, we've attached an adhesive sticky side to the back of it, which is also weatherproof, and you can stick it wherever you like. So there's no screwing or engraving involved, because we've already engraved the plaque. So it's simple stick-on.
Okay, and would it be safe from people, like, you know, it wouldn't be able to be peeled off or anything like that, no?
No, it's quite sticky. Okay. But if there was a case where it was damaged, Recapture One.ie have a policy where we'd replace it for them.
Okay, so very good.
In years to come, if it did get damaged or anything, we'd replace it.
Alana, what's to stop random people in the graveyard going up and looking at your maybe precious photos or, you know, intimate family pictures and videos?
We have taken that into account, and we have also made it a priority to let the customers know that they can make it password protected, so that when people do come up and scan the plaque, a password could be there, or else, like for the likes of my auntie, we don't mind people seeing who she was and their precious memories, so we made it public, but okay. We have made it password protected for people who wish.
Okay, so you can get people who want to make it public, you can have it public, and if you want it to be private, there'll be password protected ones for people like that. Alana, I know you are a recent graduate of South East Technological University. You were down in Waterford, I believe, and you also went to St Mary's College in Naas, like myself. Can you tell us a little bit about, I suppose, your schooling? Do you think that had any impact on the final product here?
Well, yeah, definitely. I think the transition year for me was a big year, because I had no idea what I wanted to do in college, and having that kind of gap year to explore where my career areas, it kind of led me to develop skills and creativity, which brought me to doing digital media and marketing. So I think, yeah, if I didn't even get the time to explore that area, I definitely wouldn't have got into digital media and marketing. And then from having video skills, it kind of pushed me to create a video for my auntie, which is how I got here today.
Well, brilliant. It's a great story. And honestly, like, it's, I can imagine in a couple of months, most people are probably going to use this this new service. So best of luck with it. That's Alana Pardy. She is a Kill native, also past pupil of St. Mary's College in Naas, recent graduate of South East Technological University. She's also just won the Enterprise Ireland High Achieving Grant Thornton Award for her new business, which is called Recapture One. It involves a QR code on your gravestone, which you can put all pictures, videos, poems, prayers for your loved ones. So when you visit the gravesite, you can be there and you can, it can take you right back to when they were still here with you. Alana Pardy, thank you very much for joining us.
Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Harney. Text or WhatsApp 0833 97 97 97.
Now, my next guest is Patricia Friel. She is Executive Director of Mary's Meals. It's a charity which provides daily school meals to children in over 20 countries across the world. Good afternoon, Patricia.
Hello, Caoimhe. Lovely to speak with you. How are you?
I'm very good. You too, Patricia. Happy Friday.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yes, and the sun is shining. I'm in County Cavan here at the moment and the sun is shining.
Oh, lovely. I can't see out my window here from the studio, but I think it's been a good dry day here, Patricia.
Good,
so that's good.
Good.
Patricia, firstly, just tell us how this charity got started and a little bit about how it came about.
Absolutely. Well, it was a Scottish man named Magnus McFarlane Barrow. And if we think back to the early 90s when the Bosnian War was happening, himself and his brother decided that they would take a jeep full of aid on a convoy over to Bosnia, Herzegovina, very much like what people did taking aid over to Ukraine. And when the two brothers arrived back, they had asked their local community for aid and supplies. The local community had kept giving. There was still so much abundance of stuff that kept flowing into their family home in Scotland. So one of the brothers, Magnus, decided he would keep travelling over and back. And he actually travelled 23 times over and back from Scotland to Bosnia. But if we fast forward then to 2002, 20 years ago, he started bringing aid to Malawi, who was experiencing a huge famine at that time. And he was just struck by the devastation that starvation causes. And he met a beautiful woman called Emma. I've seen photos of her and her six children. And that lady was dying and her husband had already died. And she said, there's nothing left for me to do now but to pray that someone will take my children. And she looked at Magnus as this white man, hoping that he would take her children, but he could do nothing. So he simply just looked at her oldest boy and asked a question that we ask to so many children, going, what would you like to do someday? And little Edward, at 14 years of age, answered, I would like to have enough food to eat and be able to go to school. And it was with those words, Caoimhe, that Mary's Meals was born. That Scottish man decided that if he could bring food into the schools of Malawi, that children would be attracted to the school. They would then gain that education that will hopefully break them out of the cycle of poverty. And we know ourselves as a nation who went through famine, you know, until we were fed and educated, you know, and look at us today. So we're hoping they'll be the hope for their nations going forward.
Yeah, it's something so simple that we take for granted here. Like, you know, that we, most people probably do have three meals a day. I know people in Ireland, of course, are struggling, but generally not to the level of these poor people in third world countries. So there's 150 Irish volunteers. I know, Patricia, that there are some volunteers from here around Kildare and bordering counties too. If you tell us a little bit about the work that goes on and then what the charity is like, because I know some people can be reluctant to give to charities because they can question, like, how much money really goes to the charity.
Absolutely, and that's a very valid question. And we can guarantee that at least 93 cents of every euro will go directly to those charitable activities. So it's a wonderful thing, and it's our volunteers that get behind us, the volunteers that believe in Mary's Meals. We've got volunteers from the top of Donegal down to the bottom of Cork. But we're always looking for new people to come and join us because there's always hungry children to be fed. And our volunteers do things very simply. They get a hamper together and go out and sell raffle tickets. They will do a sponsored walk. We have a very large sponsored walk that happens in August every year. And they take part in that and get sponsorship. But the main thing they do for Mary's Meals is they talk about Mary's Meals. They tell their friends and their families, their neighbours, the people in their local community. And that builds trust, because you're saying, well, look, there's Cuiva. Cuiva's talking about Mary's needs. And if she trusts Mary's Meals, my goodness, I will trust them too. And when they actually look into the work of Mary's Meals, they see exactly what it is we do. We work on a shoestring. We are absolutely no frills. I might have a fancy title of executive director, but my wage packet is not a fancy wage packet, without a shadow of a doubt. Our the number one aim is feeding the next hungry child. There's 64 million children out of school today because of hunger and poverty. And Mary's Meals is feeding 2,297,941 children today. But for us, that's just a drop in the ocean. So, Cuiva, if you don't mind, I'm just going to do a call out to every single person listening. Please look into Mary's Meals. Please check out our website, marysmeals.ie. Come and see the fabulous work that we do. And if you're moved to support us in any way, we would be delighted. €18.30 is what it costs to feed a child for an entire school year with Mary's Meals. So that's less than €20. I was out for lunch yesterday and I had a Caesar salad and a soft drink and it cost me €17.95. Mm. And you know, when you sit there and think, my goodness, okay, I know I had to have my lunch, but still, you know, you just think it's for so many of us listening and so many of us around Ireland, you know, I'm just asking people if they can spare less than €20, we would be very, very grateful.
Yeah, it's amazing that less than €20 would keep a child fed for a year, Mary. I suppose then as well, like with your own work, like have you ever gone out to any of the countries where that Mary's Meals works with, or is it just in the local areas that you work back here in Ireland?
The majority of my work is here in the local area, but I got an opportunity to pay my own way and go to Kenya this July. I know your listeners can't see me, but I have red curly hair and I'm like the typical freckled white Irish looking person. So to go out to Kenya, and it was the most north, where we work in Turkana, the northern part of Kenya, was the most inhospitable piece of land I have ever seen in my life. It is desert. All you see is camels. You know, there's these little bushes on the ground that would cut the feet off you if you brushed even near them. They're like little razor blade bushes. And then you meet the people, these people who have absolutely nothing, that are walking with such grace and resilience. And they are just so happy that you have come to see them and visit them. And then so happy that Mary's Meals is there feeding their children, something that a mother can't do. And that's an awful thing. You know, I know there's been many mommies listening today, you know, day after day, if you couldn't feed your little child. You know, this is what these mothers face. But now they know that if the children go to school, and a lot of the schools in Kenya are under a tree, and this isn't a big leafy tree. This is just like branches. And this is where the children come together to be taught. And the teachers are normally just somebody in that local community. They wouldn't be a trained teacher, but, you know, they might be good at English or they might be good at maths. There's no blackboards. There's no whiteboards. There is a stick and they write in the sand. So it's a life that we can't nearly even comprehend. But those people have hope. Those people have joy. And I think that's something sometimes in Ireland that we can lack a little bit. We've got so much, but yet, you know, so many of us, you know, just find ourselves in difficult situations. But those people are in a hugely difficult situation, but they have that grace and resilience and hope and joy, just hope for a better future.
Of course, it's fascinating. And of course, if anyone out there wants to get in touch with Mary's Meals, you can go on to marysmeals.ie for more information. And of course, if you are a member of a parents board, or you have children in school, maybe bake sale is coming up, maybe think about Mary's Meals and putting some putting, you know, your good use and your good charity towards them. Of course, there are many charities here in Kildare closer to home if you wish to spend your money closer to home. And you can also do that, Jack and Jill, NCBI charity shops here too. But I think definitely today on Black Friday, when there's a huge push for everyone to spend, it is a good idea, Patricia, to think about other people too, isn't it?
Oh, it is, without a doubt. We have a campaign at the moment, Cuiva, called Big Family Christmas. It's saying that the average Christmas dinner in Ireland will cost €35 per person this year. And we're asking people, if they go online, they can give us €18.30. I could set a place for you. I would put your name, Quiva, on it, and your name would appear on this massive big virtual table that's going to be people from all around the world setting places. But then I would be able to print off that placemat and give it to you as a gift, and you would know that gift would last all year long because a little child will be going to school and will be fed for that entire school year for €18.30.
Wow, that's great. So any more information can be found on marysmeals.ie. Patricia Friel, Executive Director of Mary's Meals, thank you very much for joining us. Today, a new blueprint for schools has been published. Basically, it says that for the sector, religious symbols across hundreds of state-run primary and secondary schools must be, in the future, reflective of the entire community, meaning that religious ornaments, statues, etc. will have to be reflective of all religions and not just one. Joining me on the line to discuss this is Michael Nugent. He is chairman of Atheist Ireland. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon.
Michael, what do you think about this new blueprint for schools in general?
Well, it's for ETB schools, which are the old vocational education schools. So it doesn't affect the denominational schools, which is 90% of the primary schools and about half of the secondary schools. Now, to one extent, it's positive in that they are talking about using the phrase now, religion or belief, instead of just religion. And the belief part of it is meant to cover non-religious philosophical beliefs, which would include atheism. So that's a positive step, and that's something that we've been asking for a long time, for anybody in government-related things to refer to religion or belief as opposed to just religion. However, it is quite impractical, because what they're saying is there will be symbols to reflect all of the religions and beliefs, but you can't do that. There's far too many religions and beliefs in the country to be able to have symbols for all of them. So all you would end up doing in practical terms is maybe having the major religions and maybe some sort of generic symbol for non-religious beliefs. But what it would mean is that whereas now, you know, families who are not Catholic can feel alienated and excluded because it's only Catholic symbols, it would mean that fewer families would feel alienated, but the ones that are still alienated would feel even more alienated because they've been even a smaller minority that everybody except them seem to have some sort of symbols. So I think it's well-meaning, but it's moving in the wrong direction. What they should do is simply have no symbols and just teach about religions and beliefs in an objective and critical and pluralistic way, but not give favour to any of them.
Why do you think that not every religion or belief could be represented, Michael?
Well, because there's several hundred religions in the country and there's an infinite number of non-religious philosophical beliefs. So that the entire school wall would be taken up with symbols.
Okay. I suppose other countries, you know, like if, let's say if you look at the World Cup or you know, kind of those kind of group things, like you could potentially, if you wanted, maybe represent. I know it would be a huge task, but you probably could represent everyone if you really wanted to. Some people might say, you know, if you take all religious objects or statues from a school, then that would really represent just the atheist population then, would you not think?
Well, look, what would represent the atheist population, which we're not looking for, by the way, but what would represent the atheist population is if they took down all the religious symbols and replaced them with signs saying there is no God. That's what the opposite would be. But because we're not looking for that, the neutral background of just not having any symbols might seem as if it's the opposite of religion, but actually it isn't. What no symbols would be would be just respecting everybody and enabling the schools to teach about religions and beliefs in an objective and critical and pluralistic way without favouring any belief over any other.
Okay. Would you be of the opinion that even schools that are multi-denominational are de facto Catholic?
Well, these ones certainly are. These are the ETB schools that this document is referring to. And the ETB schools, which are education and training boards, which used to be the vocational education committees, they have a certain number of schools that are run directly by the ETBs and a certain number that are run in conjunction with the local bishop. And so the ones that are run in conjunction with the local bishop are certainly de facto Catholic. And in fact, even this document says that those will continue to have what they describe as the inherited traditions and founding intentions of the bishops to remain enshrined in the characteristic spirit and life of the school. So those ones certainly would be. The other ones, they're still pretty much Catholic. I mean, they don't respect the constitutional right of students to not attend religious instruction, which is a constitutional right. They don't even respect the obligation in the Admissions to Schools Act to put into their admissions policies what the basis that they will deal with students who want to not attend religious instruction. So they don't have a very good record on being pluralistic. They are pretty much, you know, hunkering down on the status quo, which is effectively a Catholic structure. Now, as I say, I'm pleased with some of the language in this, in terms of saying religions are all beliefs instead of just religions. But I'll reserve judgment to see what they actually do. And it doesn't seem to me to be a practical solution to say that you'll put up symbols of hundreds of religions and beliefs around the school.
So I suppose on your side, you might be worried about this blueprint, because for these ETB schools, there's a fear that maybe, like, obviously you're saying you can't represent every single belief and religion, and you think the bigger Catholic, or like say something like the Catholic religion, would be more represented.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely what's going to happen. And it'll probably be reflective of what happens, say, in school patronage generally, that there's mostly Catholic schools. There's a small number of Church of Ireland schools, which in turn discriminate against other Protestant denominations. There's a couple of Muslim schools that are Sunni Muslim schools, and they discriminate against Ahmadi Muslims. And there's I think there's one Jewish school. So that's probably what you have is an equivalent of that. That the main minority religions, the larger minority religions wouldn't be represented, and the smaller minority religions wouldn't. And I don't know what they would do about non-religious beliefs. Because if you think about non-religious beliefs, it's not just atheism. Mm. It's also a non-religious philosophical belief could include communism. It could include veganism. It could include liberalism. Like, there's any number of non-religious philosophical beliefs that if they were genuinely reflecting beliefs that they would have to include.
Okay. Michael, I'm interested to know, do you have any children of your own?
I don't have children myself, but a lot of Atheist Ireland members do have.
Okay, and what's their experience then in schools that their children attend? Is it that, like, do their children have to sit out during religion? What's their experience?
Well, we get a lot of complaints from parents who go through us with their complaints, specifically to Jane Donnelly, who is our human rights officer, and if any parents want to contact her, it's humanrights@atheist.ie. And what they find is that, first of all, schools will try to prevent their children from not attending religious instruction. They'll tell you that you have to, or they'll tell you that it's suitable for everybody. Even though under our constitution, it's up to the parents to decide what's suitable for their conscience. It's not up to schools to tell parents what's suitable for their conscience. Mm-hmm. And then if they do manage to what's colloquially referred to as opt out, the schools won't let them physically leave the classroom, even though the constitutional right is to not attend, which means to leave the classroom. They make them sit at the back of the class, so they're still just absorbing it anyway. You know, because if you're sitting in the room and people are still preaching religious beliefs, you're going to get in. But they're, you know, so you'll get children coming home to their parents asking them, you know, why does God say this and why does God say that, and the parents have to explain to their children that they don't believe in God.
Okay. Well, Michael, it has been very interesting to speak to you. There's a new framework there out today, a blueprint for more than 200 second level schools run by the ETB. Religious symbols across hundreds of these schools will be in the future have to reflect the entire community and so take in all religions. Michael Nugent, Chairman of Atheist Ireland, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
From tomorrow, the Naas Farmers Market will recommence trade from the potato market at the corner of Church Lane and Market Square on the main street there. And thereafter that, it will be going from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. every Saturday. Joining me on the line is Mayor of Naas, Councillor with Fine Gael, Evie Salmon. Good afternoon, Evie.
Good afternoon, Cuiva. How are you?
I'm great, Evie. Evie, tell us more about this, the farmer's market. I know, like, I've attended it myself a number of times in the old, where it used to be, but it's going to be bigger and better now.
Yeah, absolutely. It was in Tracks Car Park. You might remember the restaurant down there at Hederman's Car Park. And then when it was sold, they moved down to the race course in Naas. But they had finished up there a while and they were really looking for a new home and one that would be in the heart of Naas. So the potato market was suggested as that new home, but it needed a lot of work. So Kildare County Council were successful in securing just under 250,000 of funding from the Heritage Council for the regeneration project. And then councillors also gave about 50,000 euro from the local property tax fund towards it as well. So it's a great display of government funding and local funding and where our local property tax goes to. So as you said, tomorrow morning is the first morning to see the return of the market in the heart of Naas. And I'm really looking forward to it thriving there. There's everything from fresh fruit and veg to Indian food. There's honey, there's pizza, meat and fish. And our own local enterprise office will also have a stall there. So if people are interested in talking to them, definitely come down tomorrow. It's between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m, as you say. And just to have them thriving back in the centre of Naas will be fantastic.
I have to say, it's a much better location, Evie, isn't it, to have it in the town where, like, just passers-by will be able to just swing in if they see it, because, of course, Naas Racecourse and even Tracks, like, it's that little bit further out, so probably not getting as much footfall unless you really knew about it. 250,000, just shy of 250,000 put into the potato market. Was it historically a market, like you say?
Yeah, so in and around 1840, it's referred to as the potato and butter market, and it sold the likes of wheat, oats, mutton, bacon, all of that as well. And we know that the livestock market was up at Fair Green. And then in another advertisement from around 1855, it says that the potato market was there time immemorial. So no one really knows when it started. It's just always been there. So it's great even to have the likes of the farmers market back in what that space was all of those years ago.
Of course. And the building there, I don't know if that's, like, it looks like a castle. Like, if you're walking through Naas, you'd look up and you think, oh, yeah, it's kind of like, is that the remnants of a castle, Evie? Do you know?
Yeah, so St. David's Castle is separate to the potato market, but it is a former castle, and it has its own regeneration project at the moment. There was URDF funding, urban regeneration funding, for that whole historic quarter of Naas. And it's really, like, if you ever got the opportunity to go into the church at the back there, it's like another main street of Naas. But it's green, it has a stream flowing through it, it's fabulous open space, and I'm really looking forward to the time when that regeneration is done and people will be able to walk through all of that space in the centre of Naas. It'll be fabulous.
I'll have to take a walk in there, Evie. I don't think I've ever been in. I've only looked out, even though all the years I was in school in Naas, and like yourself, the two of us in St. Mary's.
Yeah.
And of course, Naas, known as Town of the Kings. So, of course, there is that castle there, like you said. And tomorrow, of course, anyone who wants to go along to the Naas Farmers Market, which will be recommencing from tomorrow at the Potato Market at the corner of Church Lane and Market Square. Of course, if you want to talk to Evie Salmon about any issues in your area, she'll be there as well, so you can nab her if you like. You'll be there, Evie, and of course there'll be great things there: organic fruit and vegetables, bread and baked goods, a butcher with free range meat, fresh fish, olives, honey and bee products, as well as a range of hot food stalls, like you said, some Indian there as well. Indian, one of my favourites. Evie, thanks so much for joining us, and enjoy tomorrow.
Thanks.
Hopefully I might be able to get in there myself as well.
Absolutely.
Right.
Hopefully.
Yeah. We'll see you then. That's all we have. Bye. That's all we have time for today. I, of course, will be back on Monday with you. Owen Beattie is up next with the latest headlines at 3 o'clock, and Paul Power is up next with K Drive. I'll speak to you again on Monday.
Kildare Focus with Caoimhe Harney. Glengorrie Pumps Sales and Trade Counter at Tokers Business Park, Naas, stock blue MDPE piping, fittings, pressure vessels, pressure switches, and all you need for water pumps and water treatment systems, and much more. Call them today on 045 40 90 90.
It doesn't take a lot to achieve a lot, particularly when it comes to COVID, flu, and other winter viruses. Remember to keep doing the simple things, like cleaning hands, wearing masks, opening windows, as well as keeping up to date with your vaccine and boosters, and staying home when sick or displaying symptoms. We know these steps work, and they'll keep working as long as we do them. Let's keep on top of COVID, flu, and other winter viruses. Brought to you by the Government of Ireland.
Nolan Butchers of Kilcullen are now taking orders for Christmas. They have Irish farm-reared hen turkeys, their own low-salt home-baked hams, as well as delicious traditional spiced beef. They have free-range geese, ducks, farmyard chickens, and lots more. Nolan's would like to encourage customers to try to order as early as possible this year. So please drop in to Nolan Butchers in Kilcullen or call 045 481 229 to place your Christmas order today.
Dan is an expert at buying the perfect gifts. He once bought his mum a birthday present that she actually used. But he's not an expert when it comes to electric cars. Should he go for mild hybrid? Full hybrid? Is he ready for fully electric? All he really knows is that he wants a silver one. Luckily, Nissan have been giving people help and advice on electrified vehicles since we introduced the all-electric Leaf back in 2010. So, wherever you are on your journey to electric, head to your local Nissan dealer to see which electrified vehicle suits you. And they're all available in silver, too. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
Concerned about your home or business security? Need to upgrade? Secure IRL Rathangan. Install and maintain alarms, CCTV, access control and intercoms. Secure IRL are PSA licensed. Call today on 045 241135.
Winter is coming.
Great value fuel packs at Quinn's. Visit your local store for unbeatable deals on coal, ovoids, briquettes and Caller gas. At 5 Naas Balton Glass, Milford. Quinn's. Everything to help you relight your fire.
Make it Manor Mills Menus for all your Christmas shopping. Over 30 of your favourite stores, great cafes and restaurants, and free indoor car parking. Take the hassle out of shopping this festive season. Make the right choice this Christmas. Support your local community. Protect local jobs. Shop local. Shop Manor Mills Shopping Centre Maynooth.
KFM News Headlines.
It's 3 o'clock. Good afternoon. I'm Owen Beattie. Concerns are being raised that the housing crisis is changing people's attitudes towards asylum seekers and refugees, while the Taoiseach says the government is examining